At the beginning of the parsha, the Torah says that Yosef was in prison, and they didn't have a barbershop in the prison, so he was all sloppy and dirty, and he was wearing prisoner's striped uniform, like in prison. So when they took him out of the prison in order to go visit the Paro Melech Mitzrayim to interpret the Chalomos, so it says that he shaved by galach by chalev simloisav, he had to dress neatly. So the Mefarshim are bothered with their kasha, that according to the Gemara, Yosef is Yosef at Beis HaSurim on Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara says, they came over Avraham Avinu kol ha-tarku la'atshalai nitna. And many assumed that not only Avraham Avinu fulfilled all the mitzvahs kodim she'nitna ha-tarah, but Yitzchak and Yankiv and the Shvatim also. So the Ramban HaChumash assumes like that, that the Shvatim also observed the mitzvahs. So how did Yosef shave on Rosh Hashanah? He shaved on Rosh Hashanah. So the Chasam Sefer has a... The Chasam Sefer used to have a big yeshiva in Pressburg. So he used to, and the Talmidim used to eat by the Balabatim on Shabbos. So every week he would say a lot of Divrei Torah to the Talmidim that they should be able to say over by the Balabatim when they're eating by them on Shabbos. But they have every year, he said, different Torah. So they have different volumes, collected drushes that the Chasam Sefer said to the Talmidim they should say over. So they have in one of their collections, they have that the obvious in the Shvatim, if they observed the Torah, Kodem Matan Torah, that wasn't obligatory. That was Eina Mitzvah V'Yosef. That's like a minik. What do you do when you have a conflict between a real din and a Midas Chassidus? The real din takes precedence. So some sages said, this is a real din. Kovet HaMalchus is a real din. You have to show Kovet to the Melech. So even though today is Rosh Hashanah, and he would want to volunteer to observe Yisam Aloch and Rosh Hashanah, but you have to show, you can't go to the king with a dirty beard. So of course you have to shave even on Rosh Hashanah. Very interesting. The Chasam Sofer was known to be very makbid on Dina de Malchusa. They have in the biography of the Chasam Sofer, there's a sefer that's called Chut HaMshulosh. That was written by one of the grandchildren of the Chasam Sofer. And he writes there about the three generations. Rabbi Kiva Eger was the grandfather. The Chasam Sofer had three wives. After the first wife died, then the second wife was the daughter of Rabbi Kivega. And after she died, then he had a third wife. So a lot of the children were grandchildren of Rabbi Kivega. So in this book, Chut HaMshulosh, that's the official biography of the Chasam Sofer. So they have stories about Rabbi Kivega and about the Chasam Sofer and about the Ksav Sofer, the son. The Chasam Sofer had a few sons. So the son who took over the Rabbanus in Pressburg in Hungary, that was the Ksav Sofer. So it was written by one of the sons of the Ksav Sofer. So they have this story there, that when the Chasam Sofer was very young, he used to learn, he was born and was brought up in Frankfurt. That's how he always signs all of his tshuvas, Moshe HaKotami Frankfurt. He was a Yekke, he wasn't a Hungarian. He had a Rabbanus in Hungary, but he wasn't a Hungarian. So he always used to learn by Rav Nosson Adler. That was his Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler, and by the Haflor. He considered both of them his Rebbe. The Haflor is Rav Pinchas Horowitz. Haflor is a Rosh HaTevis, Rav Pinchas Levi Ish Horowitz. Haflor is a Sefer on Ksubis, and a Sefer on Kedushin. That's called the Makna. Major Svarim for many years. It was a classic. After Rav Chaim came along, so nobody looks in the Haflor anymore, but it has in Shulchan Aruch, on the bottom of the page, they quote in the Pischei Tshuva, they quote a lot from the Haflor. So the Chasam Sofer as a teenager learned a lot by Rav Nosson Adler. So after learning quite a while by him, he recommended that he should go learn in a different city in Rechnitz, which was far away. And the one who lived in Rechnitz wrote the Sefer Or Chodesh. Or Chodesh is a pilpul sefer. Last year when we learned Psochim, I remember when I was a student in Rav Soloveitchik Shiva, I learned Psochim, so he quoted a kasha from the Or Chodesh. I quote an Or Chodesh. Then I realized it's a pilpul sefer. The only thing he liked was that one kasha. So I have the sefer in my office, just collects dust. I never look at it. It's all pilpul. So the Rav Nosson Adler recommended to this teenager, to the Chasam Sofer as a child, you should go to Rechnitz and learn by I forgot the name of the author of the Or Chodesh. So he traveled there. It took him a while to travel there. He did not enjoy the shiur, and he stayed there for a while. And he, in his heart, he had tarumas, why he sent them on a wild goose chase. And then he came back home, and he never expressed to his Rebbe why he was upset. And he continued to love Rav Nasnagel. So years later, after Rav Nasnagel passed away, and some circle was already a rabbi in Pressburg, they have the whole story in the Sefer Chutam Shulosh. So there was a deterrent between two balabatim. One had sold merchandise to the other one, and it was faulty merchandise. So it was a shaila mekach tois, whether he gets his money back or not, whether he has a right to return it because it was faulty. So he gave a psak, and he wrote the psak on official stationery. So it turned out that the merchandise that the fellow sold to the other one was brought into the country illegally. And that's some sort he gave a psak on it. He should have bopped him over the head. What did he give a psak? Who's right and who's wrong? They're both wrong. The guy brought it in, didn't pay tax. It was illegal. The guy who bought it had no right to buy it. So they were going to put the Chassam Sofer in jail because he went along with the psak. So he said he didn't know that it was illegally brought into the country. They didn't believe him. So they're going to put him in jail. So in the court, they always have policemen to make sure that nobody acts up, nobody acts crazy. So the policemen never get involved in the case. They just stand there. They keep the peace. So the policeman said to the judge, "Your Honor, could I ask a question?" So the judge was surprised. He said, "Yeah, what do you want to ask?" And he says, he wants to ask the rabbi, did he ever live in Rechnitz? So he says, "Yeah, 30 years before, when he was a teenager, he lived in Rechnitz for a month." He said, "Your Honor, the man is innocent." "Why?" "Because 30 years before, when he was a teenager, nobody... all the kids his age, he was a young teenager, all the kids his age make fun of the police. Nobody respected the government. They're like in America. Nobody has dark hearts for the government. And this boy was the only one. My spot was I had to stand my beat, he would walk in front of the synagogue. That's where he was. And he was the only child his age, the only one who would say every morning, 'Good morning, officer. Have a nice day.'" They said, "I can't believe it, that now he became such a prominent rabbi, now he's going to violate the laws of the government. I think he's innocent." So he was off to... So some Saif understood why the Rebbe sent them to Rechnitz. Yeah. So some Saif was very makbid on dealing with Malchus and Kovin HaMalchus. You have to be Mechav the Mel. So that's what he told the Talmid in this comment, that if you have a conflict between the Eina Mitzvah and the Yosef, to volunteer, to observe, Rosh Hashanah Kodim Matan Torah, you're not Mechuyev. Kiyam Avram Vina Kala Tar Kola Shalatin is as an Eina Mitzvah V'yoysen. So that's fine, that's beautiful, but if it's a conflict with the real din of Kavod HaMalchus, then you have to observe the real din. There's such a Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam in Hilchus Korban Pesach. The Rambam in Hilchus Korban Pesach writes that there's a din, you have to broil the Korban Pesach all together. Rosh Al Kro Val Kirba. A Pesach Yilchumish, you don't slice it, you don't make lamb chops first, and then you broil the Korban Pesach. First you broil the whole thing, and after you broil it, Rosh Al Kro Val Kirba, all together, L'chat Chila, B'diyabit, if you did it, it'll be kosher. But not every sneeze in the Chumash is Ma'akib, B'diyabit. So L'chat Chila is supposed to broil the whole Korban Pesach together. And afterwards you slice it, you give each person a kazayis, two kazayis, and whatever they make up. So the Rambam writes that before you broil the Korban Pesach, you have to remove the Chutei Dam, because if you're going to broil the Korban Pesach when you salt meat, so the salt removes the blood. When you broil meat, the broiling also removes the dam, but it only removes the dam that's in the capillaries. It doesn't take out the dam in the arteries, in the big veins and the big arteries. So you have to yank out the chutei dam before you broil the Korban Pesach. Then you have to cut out all the chutei chelev. You have to burn the chelev on the mizbeach. And then the Rambam says that after you broil the Korban Pesach, then you cut out the Gid HaNoshe, and you throw it out in the garbage, and you eat the Korban Pesach. So the Ravid writes a Hasoga on the side of the Rambam Hilchos Korban Pesach. The Ravid has his style. Apparently that was the style that they wrote in those days. So he's very sarcastic all the time. So he writes, "If I would be there in the Beis HaMikdash, I would be the Kohen, and this man would broil the Korban Pesach, I would take his Korban Pesach and throw it on the floor and tell him, 'You're crazy, you're not allowed to eat it. You boiled the Korban Pesach with the Gid HaNoshe, you made it treif.'" Because it makes everything treif. So he says, the rabbi says you have to, just like you have to cut out the putei dam, because the dam will make a trade if you boil it with the dam. The dam will not remove the blood from the big arteries, only from the capillaries. And you have to cut out the chutei chela, burn all the chela on the mizbech. You have to cut out the gidon osher also. So the Kesa Mishnah comes to defend the Rambam, why he doesn't require that you should cut out the gidon osher before. So he says, well, there's a machloikas hatanoim, there's a perigidon osher in the end of chulin. So there is a machloikas hatanoim where the yesh begidon medosin tam or ain't begidon medosin tam. If you cook a piece of flesh with the gidon osher in it, doesn't make a trape. So we pass from the b'di'evit, it doesn't make a trape. So since b'di'evit, it doesn't make trape, and you just, and l'chatkila, there is a mitzvah b'shlei musa, when you boil the korban pesach, rosh al krov al kirbay, to boil the whole korban pesach b'shlei musa. If you're not going to take out the chutei dam, it'll make a trape, so you have no choice. So you don't say rosh al krov al kirbay, you boil it with the chutei dam. No, it'll all become trape because of the dam. But since the gidon osher doesn't ask b'di'evit, so even though normally, when you have a behemah shel chulin, you cut out even a lot of the karbonis. Only karbon pesach is a special thing, you have to broil it all together. So any other karbon or chulin, you don't broil it lechatchila with the gidon osher, then you take out the gidon osher, you move it in advance. But because by karbon pesach it's a din lechatchila, the mitzvah b'shlei musa is rosh al krov al kirbay, that's why you don't take out the gidon osher in advance. Then the Kes Mishnah asks another kasha. He says, maybe the Raibit also understood that probably it was not as solid as a Raibit. The Gemara says that Shuman HaGid is also Osir. Shuman HaGid is Mutam and HaTorah. Only the actual Gid HaNosha is Osir. But the Shuman on top of the Gid is Mutam and HaTorah, but it's only Osir with the Rabbanim. So the Shuman HaGid is a Machloikis in the Rishonim, where 2 days in Tosis, if you cook Gid HaNosha together with the rest of the flesh, so that's a machlokes hatanoim, we pass an ain't begidin medaisin tam. Gid HaNosha doesn't have enough tam to aser the rest. Was it a machlokes mitzias, whether Gid HaNosha has tam or not? So someone, you said over, I think, what I said last year when we were learning Psochem. It's a good pshat, I didn't remember it. It's a very good pshat. The Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim whether Gid HaNosha has tam. The question is whether it ases. So the Gemara says, is it really roi l'achila? Is it, it's shvach ha'maisa, it doesn't taste normal. Is it roi l'achila? So it belongs to the category of macholos asuris. Well, basically, it has a tam, but it's not really roi l'achila. And if it's not roi l'achila, so it can't be macholos asuris. So it's an iser. The Gemara has an expression, eitzu, v'atorah asuris. It's like a piece of wood. But the Torah says you're not allowed to swallow it. So if you consider it roi l'achila, it's borderline. If you consider it an asher roi l'achila, then you can call it macholos asuris. And a macholos asuris, there's an institution of tam ki'ikar, that ases medicine is tam. But let's say nochri bought a Gemara, and he worships the Gemara. He deifies the Gemara. So the Gemara becomes asa, belongs to him. So it's asa b'hanoa. What is ours asa b'hanoa? So someone is cooking soup, vegetable soup, and the Gemara is sticking into the soup. The vegetable soup is not going to taste normal. You're going to be tasting the flavor of the cardboard or the pages of the Gemara. So would you say tam kikar on that? So the Pashto says no. Tam kikar only applies on macholos asuris. Abu Dizor is not macholos asur. Abu Dizor doesn't have to be food. Sometimes in Shugayim, we worship Abu Dizor. Sometimes I'll deify ice cream. Sometimes I'll deify wood. Sometimes I'll deify metal. Whatever they deify. So even if they deify food, it's not also b'toras macholos asuris. It's also b'toras Abu Dizor. So the Pashto says, let's say they deify wood or they deify metal. And someone's cooking vegetable soup and the metal or the wood is sticking into the soup and the soup tastes better. Because of the metal flavor or because of the wooden flavor. There's no din of tam kikar. It's not macholos asuris. The whole din of you don't need bittel. The din of tam kikar only applies to be talking about macholos asuris. That's a good pshat. That's a very good pshat. He told me over just this week, that's what we said last year. So we paskin halacha that Gid HaNosha doesn't asa. Eitzu v'atorah asrasa, so there's no din of tam kikar. But the Gemara says that Shuman HaGid is mutam and atorah, the Shuman on top. Why do they ask him at the Rabbanon? So there's two opinions in the Rishonim. Is it Exer and Mishum Chelev? just like they asked a lot of chelev, there's chelev that's us, but not there, there's chelev that's us, and the Rabbanon. The Shuman Agit, they asked a gzera otu chelev, or gzera otu gid anosha. So that's a discussion in the Rishon. So Tosis has two opinions. Agid anosha, you don't say tam ki ikar, because ain't begin, but I said tam, eitzu batar, asrasa, it's not macholos asuras. We did say tam ki ikar on the Shuman Agit. So one opinion in Tosis, how can it be? Shuman Agid is awesome, and the Rabban Agzer Mishum Gid. So Gid Anasha doesn't ask, and we get Menaisin Tam. You don't have Tam Kik and Gid Anasha. So how can you say that to Shuman Agid, which is Agzer Mishum Gid, that there is a Din of Tam Kik? There is such an opinion in Tosfos, that that's not the accepted opinion. And Shulchan Aruch we paskin that the Shuman Agid does ask, and the Kesef Mishnah points out the Rambam seems to hold like that sheet, that the Shuman Agid does ask him in the Rabban. Even though the Gid Anasha itself doesn't ask him in the Rabbanon, the Gid Anasha is awesome and atar, but it doesn't ask him. Amy Gid Menasim Tam, but the Shuman Agid does ask him. So that's the Tkes Mishnah said, that's a Kasha on the Rambam. The Gid Anasha is not a Kasha, because since it doesn't ask him in the Eved, and Lechatchila, there's a mitzvah Bishli Musa to broil the whole carbon Pesach, Rosh Hal Kral Bal Kirba all together. So that's why you don't take out the gid before you broil the carbon pesach, you take it out after. But the Shuman Agid is going to ask us, how can you eat the carbon pesach? That's Akasha. So the Kesef Mishnah gives an answer that's quoted by the Prima Gadim on Yeriday. I wouldn't have even thought to look in this Ramam, so who looks in Hilchos carbon pesach? But the Prima Gadim on Yeriday quotes it in the Siman about Gid Anasha. So he quotes this Kesef Mishnah. Kesef Mishnah says that the Gemara's Lashon in Per Gid Anasha is the Shuman Hagid is mutam and atara, and it doesn't say the Yasid midirabon. The Losh of Gemara is Yisrael Kidoshim Nohagubo Iser. The holy Jewish people want to be Kaddish Asmacha b'mutalach, so they make Gzeiros and make Harchokas. Yisrael Kidoshim, the holy Jewish people, Nohagubo Iser. So the Kesef Mishnah says, for the Gemara you see Shuman Hagid is not even awesome midirabon. It's only awesome itam minig. Oh, so the Kesef Mishnah said, that's the answer. When you have to all year long, in the Jewish calendar, there are usually 354 days. The Goyish calendar, 11 more days. This year is the Shana Mubaris. The Jewish year is going to have more than the secular year. They're going to have 20 days more. But usually, the Jewish calendar is 354 days. So 353 days of the year, you're not allowed to eat Shuman Agid. And one day of the year, on Leil Pesach, all the Jews who come to eat Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim, they all eat Shuman Agid. Why? Because you have a conflict between a real din deraisa and a minig. The minig is you don't eat Shuman Agid and you don't eat tam ki ikar from Shuman Agid. But there's a real din deraisa l'chatchila. The mitzvah b'shleimus is to broil the whole Korban Pesach Rosh Hal Krov v'al Kibbeh. You should boil everything together. So whenever there's a conflict between a real din, even though the real din is only l'chatchila, but whenever the Korban Pesach will be kosher. But you won't be mekayim the mitzvah b'shleimus of Rosh Hal Krov v'al Kibbeh. So whenever there's a conflict between a real din and a minig, so you have to violate the minig. So the Kesef Mishnah says, one night a year, all the Jews who come to Yerushalayim to eat Korban Pesach, they all violate the minig of eating Shuman Agid. All the other 353 days of the year, and a half a day, the morning of Pesach, whatever, and Pesach in the morning, you don't eat Shuman Agid. Only the night of Pesach, when they're eating Korban Pesach, everybody has to violate that minig to eat Shuman Agid. So Rav Gustman was a big Rosh Yeshiva. He was a big Talmid Chacham, Rav Gustman. He was, I think at the age of 18, he was on Rav Chaim Moshe's best. He was a very big Talmid Chacham. He was a super genius also. Not all Talmid Chacham, much super genius. He happened to be both. He was a super genius and a big Talmid Chacham. And then he was, he survived in, through the war. He survived through the war. He was hiding in the forests. He told over years later when he came to America, he's in Siberia also, so he when he came to America, he told over that he would sometimes take walk with Rav Chaim Moshe and would talk and learning about Shilas, and as they were going through the forest there, Rav Chaim Moshe would tell him which herbs are poisonous and which are edible. So that's what saved his life. When he was hiding in the forest from the Nazis, he knew which herbs to eat and which herbs not to eat. Chaim Moshe is just commenting. And that's what saved his life. So he has famous Klintrei Seh Shiurim, has several volumes of his Shiurim. He had a yeshiva here in Brooklyn, and then he moved to Yerushalayim, and he passed away many years ago. Very big Talmid Chacham. Very big Talmid Chacham. normal person, a very normal person, not extreme, very normal person. So he has a tshuva halacha lamaisa about the following issue. Sometimes a woman is married, she wants to have children, and her cycle is so short that by the time she finally goes to the mikveh, we don't allow, under normal circumstances, we have a chumrah, it's a minig, that a woman who becomes a nida has to wait 5 days before she counts shivin akiv, even if the dam ended before. That's a chumrah in Shulchan Aruch to explain what the chumrah is based on. A chumrah from the days of the late Rishon, from the Bali Atesis. So some women have such a short cycle that if you're going to wait to go to mikveh till after 5 days and 7 days, they can't become pregnant. There's only a certain window of opportunity when they can become pregnant. So well, what do you do if the woman wants to fulfill, the husband wants to have children, wants to fulfill Piri Viriya? So Rav Guzman has a tshuva where he quotes this Kesef Mishnah, and he says, sometimes the waiting Shivinikim is a real din, Midirabbanan, sometimes it's only a minute. So no, it's rare though, most of the time it's a real din, Midirabbanan, but when it's only a minute, so then whenever you have a minig that's in conflict with the real din, the husband has an obligation of Piri Viriya. So whenever the real din of Piri Viriya is in conflict with the minig, so then he says that that the Kesef Mishnah said Pshat and the Rambam. The Pashtus says that it is correct, even with that. Even if there wouldn't be a Kesef Mishnah, we should have said it on our own. Whenever there's that's what the Chassam Sefer said. Whenever you have a Midas Chassidus, whenever you have a minig, but it's in conflict with the real din, you have to observe the real din. Yeah. Let's say, take for example, shaving in Svira. So you don't shave in the 3 weeks, you don't shave in Svira. But what about for Shabbos? For Shabbos is a din of Kibbutz V'Yoyin, you have to dress up nicely before Shabbos. So the Pashtus is that in Baltimore Yeshiva, that was the practice that they had for many years. Now they no longer have that practice. But in Israel, they used to shave for Shabbos. Because the Mashgiach in Yeshiva years ago had learned the Mir Yeshiva in Europe. And that's it. He set the policy there in Baltimore. He said, look, all the Shabbos, you have to shave, you have to look normal. You can't have a minik to violate a real din. If Mikra din, there is no halacha of Avelis and Sphere. The whole thing is only a minik. So people shave all the time. They're going to look awful on Erev Shabbos. So that's why he said you have to shave. Anyway, that's an important. So that Chassam Sefer is an interesting comment. That he said, Hag, the Rishonim asked that question. If you say, if you had some Beis HaSurim on Rosh Hashanah, how come it says Vayigalach? Why did he shave? Didn't he volunteer to observe Rosh Hashanah? So some sefer said, yeah, he volunteered. He, under normal circumstances, he would volunteer. But here was a conflict with the real din of Kavod HaMalchus. Kavod HaMalchus is a real din. Originally, Parah had two chaloimas, and it says in the Chumash that he woke up in between. And when he told over this story to Yosef also, he said, Bo'ikatz, I woke up, and then I fell asleep again. I had another dream. What's the emphasis on the two different dreams? So Yosef said, "Alei shanos ha-chalom," and the reason why you had the dream twice, "Kim imayir helikim la-soso," and it's going to happen very soon. It's going to happen right away. The 7 good years are going to begin right away. So in order that it should be considered two dreams, you had to wake up in between. Otherwise, it would be one dream. So because it was two different dreams, so Rashi quotes from the gracious rabbi. Most of what Rashi says, when Rashi talks about grammar, that's on his own. He's writing on his own. But whenever Rashi fills in details of the story, that's all from the Gemara, so from the Midrash. The Rashi is quoting the Bereshis Rabbah that the Chartumi Paro interpreted that the two dreams are telling two different things. Two different stories unrelated to each other. Tzvei Didim in Yeshivas. Everybody thinks you imitate Rab Chaim's Derech HaLimud, you have to take Gemaras that seem to be saying two Didim seem to be identical, you have to split hairs on everything. So Yosef comes and he says, no. Chalom para echerhu, the Malbim points out. The Chatum and Mitzrayim were insisting that the two different dreams, two different messages from heaven, and Yosef said, it's all the same dream. The reason of Ali Shanos HaChalom, the reason why it's given twice, not because it's two different nevuas. Marei Halakim La'Soso is going to happen very soon. How do they know that this is really a nevuah? The Gemara says, Chalom is echer mishishim nevuah. It's a miktsas of a nevuah, but the Gemara says on the other hand, chalom below dvar mitaylum, because Yosef, when he originally had the chalomis, when he was before, when he still lived in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Kenan, so he had a dream, the shemesh and the erech, amishtafim, his mother, His mother had died already. So that's the part of the chalom that was drawn to Taylor. So how do you know which part of the dream to take seriously, which part not? So the Gemara says in the last Perek in Brochas, the Gemara has a lot of dream interpretation there, Perek Aroya. So the Gemara says usually people dream at night about things that they saw during the course of the day. But Aviyat Parah says the skinny cows, Lorisi Kaina Bukhalaris Pinsan, I never saw such animals in my whole life. So that part of the dream couldn't be that he was dreaming about things that he saw in the daytime. Says Larisa Kaina Bukhalaris Mitsaram Laroa, he never saw such sickly animals. So Yosef interpreted it must be that it's a message from heaven that you're in charge of you're the king of the country and you should do something about it. The Gemara in Sukkah mentions in one place in Shas, Gemara mentions something about Moshiach ben David and Moshiach ben Yosef. Before Moshiach is Moshiach ben David, a descendant from David HaMelech. But before the coming of Moshiach ben David, there's going to be a Moshiach ben Yosef who's going to be killed, and then Moshiach ben David will come. What exactly is Moshiach ben Yosef all about? So in the Gemara, it's only mentioned once in the end of Sukkah. Apparently in the Zohar, it's mentioned a lot. So the Vilna Goyen had a lot to say about Moshiach ben David. And one of his Talmidim wrote a whole book quoting all the comments of the Vilna Goyen on the topic of Moshiach ben David, Moshiach ben Yosef. We don't know exactly what it means. He quotes the Vilna Goyen and said he thinks maybe he was Moshiach ben David. Maybe he was Moshiach ben Yosef. I don't know what it means. Anyway, so one of the Inyanim, so he has, how much is Yosef Bigematria? How do you calculate? Yosef is 156. I think it has 156 paragraphs. Gematria Yosef. 156 ideas, all based on passages in the Zohar about Mashiach ben Yosef. And the Vilna Gaon said that if he were brought into this world just to develop all 156 ideas about Moshiach ben Yosef, would have been Dayo. Even without what he wrote to Be'er HaGaon, everything else, all the different things that they quote from the Vilna Gaon, he felt that this was his greatest accomplishment in learning, that he discovered all the details in this area of Moshiach ben Yosef. So one of the Inyanim in that Sefer, I forgot, what's the name of the Sefer? I forgot the name. My old age, I'm forgetting. They have it in the library. Rabbi Mendel Kasher reprinted the Sefer. It says there in the Sefer something about, it says at Beremes though, it says that there are two major events that are going to occur on Hay and Vav Ir, and on Chof Ches Ir. The Hay and Vav Ir is Yom Ha'atzma'ut. The British Hay Ir, in 1948, Hay Ir was Friday and Vav Ir was Shabbos. And the British mandate was over at midnight. So, and then they legally they didn't have the right to declare a Medina till Friday night. But they didn't want some of the people who signed the Declaration of Independence were Shomer Shabbos. Unfortunately, most of them were not. But some of them were Moshe Sharet, I think. There was a Maimon, Rabbi Maimon. Some of them were Shomer Shabbos. So they didn't want to sign it Friday night. So they signed on Friday. But it wasn't really legal until Friday night. So that's what Heir and Vavir are all about. He doesn't write Heir and Vavir. He writes Chesed Shebigvura, whatever it is over there, what you say. And then he writes Chav Chesir. So at the time of when they were dancing in the streets on Yom Ha'atzmaut, the first Yom Ha'atzmaut, all the Jews were dancing in the streets. So they told Rabbi Chalap that his grandfather, Rabbi Anka Moshe Chalap, was rejoicing. And now we know what it says in that Sefer. I forgot the name of the Sefer, about Heir and Vavir. That something major is going to happen that's going to lead to the Geula. But we don't know what Chav Chesir was. Chav Chesir was Yom Yerushalayim. That was a few years later. That was after Mohammed Sheshet Hayamim. So in this Sefer, they quote from the Vilna Gaon, one of the 156 paragraphs that they have, one of the 156 ideas is based on the Pasuk. And today said, Rabbayaka Yosef Secha Behem Lohiki Ruhu, that when it'll be the Tkufa Moshiach ben Yosef, immediately before Moshiach ben David, right before Moshiach ben David, it'll be Heim Lehiki Ruhu. It'll be so much Beseser that the Bnei Sol won't realize that this is the Hachana for the Bias HaMashiach. So that's why, even though things in Eretz Yisrael seem very bleak, that this new coalition government is destroying everything, anything religious that they had there. They're destroying crazy things. Crazy things they're having about gayers and about kashrus. They're going to destroy everything that we have. So that's perhaps the inyan of the Eim Lehikiru, that when you're going through the tkufa of the Hakona, the Imos HaMashiach, that's called Mashiach Ben Yosef, that's going to be Eim Lehikiru, Ben Esau won't even realize what's happening. Kol HaTorah, right? Kol HaTorah is the name of the sefer. Kol HaTorah Nishma B'Yatzeinu. So that's the name of the sefer. So people thought that Rabbi Mendel Kasher forged the whole sefer because it has about Chof Chasir and about Heir. So they said he forged the whole thing. So Professor Horowitz, who teaches here in the college, yeah, he didn't forge it. He was a little child at that time. He says he remembers the sefer was in existence before Rabbi Mendel Kasher reprinted it. Maybe he forged other things. They say he forged other things. But that sefer existed from before. They're old copies of the book. Kol HaTorah, that's a Kol HaTorah Nishma B'Yatzeinu is about the Hachana for the Geula. Yeah, we spoke about, this week we were speaking about the Pasuk in today's Sedra that Yaakov Avinu was afraid to send Binyamin Pen Yikrenu Ason. So the Gemara says Ason is a reference to Misa B'Dei Shamayim. And Yehuda accepted Anochi Erevenu, he accepted to be an Orev. An Orev, if the Malach HaMavis will come to take Binyamin's life because he did an Aver for which he deserved Misa B'dei Shamayim, and the Gemara's Loshin is Asot Mekatrek B'Shas HaSakone, and Kol HaDroch Mecheska Sakone, that's what Rashi quoted, Kol HaDroch Mecheska Sakone. So that's what Yaakov Avinu was nervous about. Yehuda said, Anochi Avenu, if the Satan comes to take Binyamin's life, so I'll tell him take my life instead. That's an Orev Shlof Dots, that he says, don't collect from the loiva, only collect from the Orev. So that's what the Netziv explained that. In his commentary on the Shiltas, he explains the Girsas HaGainim, that in the Gemara, in the end of Bav Brasa, the Gemara says, how do you know that an Orev is Mishayiv? The loiva barred the money. There was a matan mas to the loiva. There was no matan mas to the Orev. So what makes the Orev mechuyev? So that's the din of Orev. If the matan mas was given to the loiva al pi tzivuyo shel ha-Orev, and Orev says, by your giving him money, I should become obligated to repay you. So that's also considered matan mas to the loiva al pi tzivuyo shel ha-Orev is considered matan mas, as if a matan mas was done to the Orev. The Gemara learns that from Yehuda. Then the Gemara says, how can you learn from Yehuda? Yehuda was a loiva. He was borrowing, not borrowing, he was a shoyel. A shoyel is chayv miyonsa. So you say, he promised the father, I'm going to see to it that I'll bring it back to you. So what does that have to do with orev? The verb that he used was anochi erevenu, but it's not the institution of orev. That's the gersa that we have. But the Shiltis lived in the days of the Goyim, and he was not a Goyim. The name of the yeshiva used to be, they were Gaonim and Eretzon, Gaonim and Bavel at the same time. The name of the yeshiva was Yeshiva's Gaon Yaakov, the pride of the Jewish people, the yeshiva, when we learned Torah. So the president of the yeshiva was called Rosh Yeshiva's Gaon Yaakov, but it's a long title. So he used to call him a kid, so the Goyim. But today a Goyim means a genius in learning. The guy's a big Goyim. And the Goinim, some of them were taking great Goinim in learning, and some of them were presidents of the yeshiva, fundraisers. Some of them were neither. They were not so successful in raising money, and they were not so successful in learning either. But the one who wrote the Shiltas was not the head of the yeshiva. He lived in the days of, he was a real Goin, he knew how to learn, but he was not from the Goinim, he was not the head of the yeshiva. He was not the head of the yeshiva's Goinim. So in this week's Sedra, he quotes all the dinim of Orev, and had a different girsa in the Gemara, that Yosef was an Orev Shlof Dots, three kinds of Orev, we spoke about it this week. So that Netziv is in his commentary on the Shiltas on this week's Sedra. In Kabbalah Svarim they write, why was Yehuda Shevet Yehuda Zecher to Malchus? David HaMelech was from Shevet Yehuda, and Yaakov Avinu said, Liosu Shevet Yehuda, the government should remain by Yehuda. The Ramban al HaTorah has a famous comment. He writes about the Chashmonim, they were Chaside Elyon. That's the expression that he coins a term. Chaside Elyon, they were very holy people. But in the end, their Malchus was collapsed and they were all killed out. Why? They were all murdered by Hordas. So the Ramban says, because they violated Tzavoas HaZaken, they violated the instructions of Yaakov Avinu that the Malchus should be in Shevet Yehuda. Why does the Malchus have to, what did Yehuda do as a person, what did Yehuda do that he should be Zecher, that only his Shevet should have the Malchus? And even when Shaul HaMelech, Ramban quotes, even when Shaul HaMelech was appointed before David HaMelech, the idea was that Shaul HaMelech was not from Shevet Yehuda, he was from Shevet Binyamin. He wasn't going to be the full king. The plan was he's going to be temporarily the king. Then later on, there's going to be a king from Shevet Yehuda. But the plan always was that it's supposed to be Malchus from Shevet Yehuda. So the Ramban HaChumash says that this was an avla, that the terrible avla that the Hashmonaim did. They were Kohanim from Shevet Levi, and they should not have taken over the Malchus. The Rambam, Rav Soloveitchik, always used to point out every year. The Rambam doesn't seem to agree with the Ramban, because of the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Chanukah quotes the whole history of Chanukah, gives you the whole background. That's also Rav Soloveitchik will point out. How come in Hilchas Purim he doesn't give you the background, Hilchas Chanukah he does? So he used to explain, because the Rambam writes in his introduction to the Mishnah Torah that he's writing over the whole Torah Shebal Peh. So all you have to do is read the Tanakh from cover to cover, read my book, and you know all there is to know. So if you read the Tanakh, you know the story of Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, you know the story of Purim. Purim is in the Tanakh, but Chanukah is not in the Tanakh. So all you have to read is the Tanakh and my book, then he has to tell you the story of Chanukah. So that's why he writes the story of Chanukah, but he doesn't bother to write the story of Purim, because that's in the Tanakh. That's why the Rambam quoted it, called the Sefer, the Mishnah Torah. All you have to do is read the Tanakh and my book, and you know all there is to know. So in Jewish folklore, they say, from different Gedolim, they say that that name that the Rambam gave is Sefer. The Mishnah Torah was a little too audacious. So Klal Yisrael don't call it Mishnah Torah. They call it the Yad HaZaken, Yud Dalet Svarim, because there are 14 Svarim there. So the same thing, the Shaloh. We call it the Shaloh. He called it the Shnei Luchas HaBris. That's the Shnei Luchas HaBris. Shnei Luchas HaBris has the Aseres HaDibris on it. The same thing, the Chasam Sefer. He called the Sefer Torah Moshe. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. That's Torah Moshe. His name is Moshe. Moshe Sefer. He called it Torah Moshe. But so that's what the Yiddish folklore, they say. That these are the three Svarim. The Mishnah Torah, and the Chasam Sefer, Torah Moshe, and the Shaloh HaKadosh. These are the three Svarim that we don't call by the name, because Klal Yisrael felt that the title of the Sefer was a little too much, a little too audacious. Anyway, so why was Yehuda Zecher to Malchus on the Kabbalah Svarim there, right? Because Yehuda was prepared to accept Achrayus. He said, Anochi Erevenu. Jewish people have to be Kol Yisrael Arevim Zed B'Zed. We're all responsible for each other. And Yehuda took Orvis for his brother Binyamin. So the one who is prepared to take Achrayus for the others, he deserves to be the Melech. Melech has to Melech min Mishpat Yamin Eretz, a pasuk in Mishlei. The role of the Melech is to maintain law and order in the country and to take care of all of the citizens. So that's by Yehuda Bezecha Tamar. That's what they write in Kabbalah Svar. The second time the brothers came, the first time they came to Egypt, Yosef met with them, and he put Shimon in prison. And then they went back to Eretz Yisrael. The second time, he ate with them. Why didn't he invite them to eat with him the first time? So they say in the name of Avelva LeSoloveitchik, the only reason why he ate with them the second time was because he wanted to do the shtick with the Gevi'a HaKesef, with the silver becher. So Rashi quotes from the Bereshis Rabbah that in the middle of the meal, he said, he started banging on his becher. He said, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, he said they should all sit in order. He knew who the brothers were. He knew who was the oldest and who was the youngest. So he didn't get the information from the Gvi'ah HaKesef, but he made believe as if he found out all the information from the Gvi'ah. And then he had them plant the Gvi'ah HaKesef in Yam Tachas Binyamin in order they should bring back Binyamin and to see what the brothers going to stick up for Binyamin, because he was the favorite son and they wanted to kill him. And now Binyamin was the favorite son. He was the only child that was left from Rachel. They wanted to see if the brothers were going to treat Binyamin the same way they treated him or not. That was to test them. So he had to eat with them. That was, he invited them to eat by him in order to plan the shtick, in order to bang on the Gevi'ah HaKesef and then have them plant the Gevi'ah HaKesef and Tachas Binyamin. But the first time he wasn't planning to do that. So it wasn't necessary that they should eat together. So the second time they came to Mitzrayim, So he told Asher al Beiso, Tvach Tevach V'chachen, Ki Yiti Yoklu Hanoshim Batzorayim. I'm going to eat with them today. So it says in the Pasuk, that the brothers understood that they're going to be eating with him. What do you mean they understood? He said, Beferish. They understood that they're going to eat together. But Tzoharai with Yosef, what do you mean they heard? They understood. Yosef said in their presence. Says Beferish. Where is it? Vayav Yosef itam es binyamin, vayom al asher al beiso, he told the shamas, havei es hanosh ma boiso tvach teva v'ochein, kiti yochlo hanosh ma tzorah, vayasa is kasher ma Yosef. What do you mean they understood? They were there when he said it. So he said the name Rav Elva Lesolovechik, that he was talking Egyptian to his shamas. And they were, he knew Hebrew, but it was making believe that he doesn't know Hebrew. That's why when they said, it's our fault. They said that it's our fault that we're having all this trouble because we sold our brother, so he started to cry because he understood Hebrew. But they didn't understand Egyptian. So when Yosef told Asher al Beiso, they didn't understand what he said. So the pasuk is later, they heard somehow, they understood that they're going to eat with him. But that's why they prepared the matonah. Interesting. Interesting. What is meant tvach tevach v'hachein? So the Gemara has in Perek Yid Anoshe. The Gemara says v'hachein, that they should remove the Yid Anoshe. The Gemara had a machlekes. Simple reading the Gemara was a machlekes hatanaim and the Mishnah Perek Yid Anoshe. When did the prohibition of Yid Anoshe begin? Did it begin right after the Malach broke Yankov's leg in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach? Or was it only given after Matan Torah, but it's written over here. You should know what the historical background, what the meaning of the mitzvah is, not to eat Gid Anoshe. According to that opinion, that Gid Anoshe was given already, the Rambam didn't understand like that. We spoke on Vayichlach. Rambam understood, based on the Bereshis Rabbah, that all the Tanaim agreed that Gid Anoshe was given to Yankov. The Machlokes and the Mishnah is, why are we obligated to observe it today? Is it because it was given to Yankov Avinu? No, that's not enough. A mitzvah is only binding l'doros if it's given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Whatever is given to another Navi is, by definition, only a Hayra Shor. So the mitzvah, Gid Anoshe, had to be repeated at Harsinai. But everyone agrees that Gid Anoshe was given originally. But the simple reading of the Gemara is not so. Gemara says, Tvach Tevach V'Hachein, remove the Gid Anoshe, because these people are not going to eat Gid Anoshe. They're Jewish. That's how the Gemara learns Pshat. Then the Pasuk says, when they... when they left Egypt, the second time to go back there, it's Canaan. So Yosef sent the police after them, that they stole his Gevi'ah HaKesef. They planted it. He had them plant the Gevi'ah HaKesef in Amatachas Binyamin to see what their reaction would be. Would they be angry at Binyamin, why he's taking all the attention from the father? Or would they protect him? Would they defend Binyamin? So when the police chased after the brothers and they catch them, so they said, what do you mean? What do you mean we're going to steal a Gevi'ah HaKesef? The money that we found and made a Kal V'Chomer. This is one of the Asara Kal V'Chomer that appears in the Chumash. That's what Rashi quotes from the Medrash. There are 10 places in the Chumash where you have a Kal V'Chomer. So they said, the money that we found in our sacks, we brought back to Egypt and we're going to go steal the Gevi'ah HaKesef. It's a Kal V'Chomer, it's not going to happen. So the pasuk says that they started searching. They checked everybody's sack. So the simple pshat, and the policeman was checking. He tried to start it from the oldest brother till he went down to the Bagotl, to Bakotn Kilo, and he finally checked by Binyamin, and he found him Amtacha, in Amtachas Binyamin, he found the Gevuyah HaKesef. So they say there's a medrash, others say there ain't no such medrash. Someone thought there's a medrash that says they only check two sacks. They don't check all the brothers' sacks. There were 12 brothers, and they only checked Shimon and Binyamin, because all the others had a Kal V'Chomer. But Shimon was in prison, so he didn't go back to Eretz Canaan, and Binyamin was never there the first time, so he never brought back any money. So I think they say Reb Shlomo Leib Diskin said that's pshat in the Medrash, and they say they don't think there is such a Medrash. Maybe that's the pshat in the Pasuk. They only checked two sacks, only the sack of the Gadol, Shimon. Reuven was the oldest, but maybe that's what the Medrash says. That they only checked Shimon because Shimon was in prison, so he never brought back money. And Binyamin never brought back money. But they only checked the two, and they found the sack in Binyamin, and they found the Gevuyah HaKesef in Binyamin's. And the concluding pasuk, Yosef HaTzadik tells them, Yehuda says, "You caught us. Alikim Matzas Avon Avodecha." What do you mean? Who Alikim Matzas Avon Avodecha? Not Alikim Matzah. They caught him. They caught him in the Gneva. So they quote from the Brisker Rav. In order to give Misa by Bnei Noach, you have to have at least eight echad. By Jewish people, you have to have a pishnai made him up, pishloish edim yumas ames. You have to have two or three edim. By Bnei Noach, Nigmar says eight echad, the dying echad is enough. So over here, it's only circumstantial evidence. No one saw them stealing the Gevuyah HaKesef. They found it in his sack, and he's going to claim that he's innocent. They don't really have edim. So that's why Yehuda says, Alikim matzas avon avodecha, it's min hashamayim that we're going to be punished. But b'dini yodim, they can't punish us. So he says, Inen avodim la'adoni, gam anachna, gam ashanim, tza gevuyah b'yodah. Yehuda says, okay, you can take us all as slaves. And Yosef says, no, chalili mesa, uishish nim tza gevuyah b'yohu yeli oved. The one who stole the gevuyah, I'm going to keep him. Batem alu v'shalom al avich. You're all free. You can all go back home. So the Shaloah quotes, and other Svarim have this as well. Shaloah has a whole section, a big section where he has comments on Parshas HaShavua. So a lot of times it's taken from Yishayim. I think it's all quotations. I don't think it's original. A lot of times taken from earlier Kabbalah Svarim. So he has a famous comment on this pasuk: Alula Shalom Al Avichem. You're going to go up the Asara Haruge Malchus in the days of the Roman persecution, days of the Tanaim, was because of the 10 brothers who sold Yosef. So that's what he said. Batem, all of you, Alula Shalom Aleichem. You're going to lose your lives in the future. You're going to go up to heaven. You're going to be killed by the Romans because of Mechiras Yosef. That's what the Kabbalah Swarm, the early Kabbalah Swarm, write like that. That's included in the Pasuk here. Yeah, on Shabbos Chanukah, we have a separate Haftarah. Instead of saying the regular Haftarah about Bnei Achayim, Bnei Chameis, and so on, we have a special Haftarah. The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset about Bnei Yisrael after the 7 years of Golus Baba. They had an opportunity to go back there to Israel, and they chose not to go back. So when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, we spoke about it already, when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he already knew that the first Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. They knew that from the days of the Chet HaMeraglim, and the Chumash is not that explicit at all, but it's in Yecheskel and in Tehillim. It says Beferish, on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, they were told that when they'll go to Eretz Yisrael, they'll be sent into Golus, and it's understood that the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed as well. So when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew there was going to be Chareb. So he said, V'ruach HaKodesh, what will be with the second Beis HaMikdash that will be built after the Golus Bavel? Will that also be doomed to destruction? Or would that be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara in the first page of Yuma interprets the Psukim and Shir HaShirim as follows: Im Chai Mehi Nivna Lehatir Eskesim Delis Yinotza Lalu Achores. Im Chai Mehi means in Yalu Kachayim. If all the Jews will be turned back from Bavel, back there, it's Israel, then Nivna Lehatiras Kesef. Then the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a metal structure, Tiras Kesef, a palace. made from silver, made from metal. Ein harekeb sholet bo. Wooden buildings rot. Years ago, they used to make wooden buildings because they live in huts. Parts of Russia, they still live with wooden buildings. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Shlomo HaMelech says, Baruch HaKadosh, if all of Bnei Yisrael will come back at the beginning of the Bais Sheni period, nevertheless, Tiras Kesed, Ein HaRekab Sholet Bo. Means two things. The Gemara, number one, second Bais HaMikdash will not be destroyed. It will be lasting forever. And number two, Rat will not set in the Jewish people. They will continue to have Nevi'im. And the function of a Navi is to give Musa, to give Tochacha to the people, to straighten them out. So they won't rot away. However, in Delasi, there'll be a Shvacha Aliyah, which it was, very Shvacha Aliyah. The Psukim say 40 some odd thousand. There were hundreds of thousands of Jews were in Golas Bogom. So then it's going to be Notza Lalu Achoris. Then the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a wooden hut, like a wooden bungalow. Shaharekab Sholet Bo. It means two things. Number one, the second Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. It'll rot away. And number two, Rekev Rat will set in the Jewish people. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not going to send anyone a deem to give them Tochacha. They're going to do Averis, and they're going to be punished for the Averis. If we have the deem, so then we don't rot away. The deem give Musa, and they scream long enough until we listen, we do tshuva. No Nevi'im, so people keep on saying. But there were three Nevi'im, Chagas Chai Malachi. So Gemara said that was an exception to the rule. The rule was there not going to be any more Nevi'im. But Gimel Nevi'im, Allah remind me, Bavel, that's a Gemara, Chagas Chai Malachi. Because without Nevi'im, the whole idea of coming back to Eretz Yisrael was in order to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and that's Halacha. The Sifrei says on the Pasuk in Parsha Yisrael, Shicht Nesidushu, was a Shamed Rosh Al Pi Novi. You're not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash unless you have authorization from a Novi. Each one of the three Nevi'im, Chagas Chai Malachi, had to give over a message, the Nevu'ah, about a different aspect of the Binyan of Bais Sheni. That's how the Gemara understands. So the Haftorah is from Zechariah. So Zechariah has a vision of the Kohen Gadol, Yeshua Kohen Gadol, the beginning of the Bais Sheni period. The name of the Kohen Gadol was Yeshua. It's not Yeshua Ben Nun. That was a few centuries earlier. It's the beginning of the Bais Sheni period. Yeshua Kohen Gadol, and the Pasuk says, he's wearing begodim tzoim. Hayol habush begodim tzoim, dirty clothing. And the Malach says, hasir habgodim hatzoim, me'olov, v'albeish ha'isay machal hatzos. Take off the dirty clothing and dress him up with nice begodim. What is that supposed to represent? What is that nevuah? He's wearing the dirty begodim. So the Gemara says, the Medrash says, begodim hatzoim is something outside of his body. His body was okay, he was not a balmum, but there's something that was attached to him that wasn't proper. So the Gemara says they were all married to wives be'isr. Many of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, when Ezra came back in the beginning of the Bais Sheni period, many of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael were intermarried. They were married nisui isr, and the dinners at the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to do v'chipa ba'adabi ad besa besa zelishta. He says vidui three times. So the first vidah, he says, Chatos avisi peshata ani obesi. Says, I sin, I my wife sin. Then the second time he says, Chatos avisi peshata ani and the Kohanim, the Shevet Levi. Then the third time he says, vidah, on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. So the first time he says, vidah, ani obesi, besi zelishta, he has to be married. That's the first Mishnah in Yuma. Kohen Gadol has to be married. And the Gemara says there in Yuma, besi zelishta is only after Nisuin, not after Eris. Has to have Nisuin with the girl, has to be married with Nisuin. The Tosus Yisharim on the side of Beis Amon Aleph in the first half in Yuma has a suffix where is this Ma'ake B'di'evit? The simple reading of the Mishnah is that it is Ma'ake B'di'evit. They're so concerned in case his wife will die. Why should his wife die? Punkt on Yom Kippur. So concerned his wife may die on Yom Kippur, so they have another wife as a backup. And so what do you mean? He's married to two wives, or he marries her in the middle of Yom Kippur. Whole discussion that Babli and Yerushalmi, what does he do? They're so worried about over here. His wife is not sick. Why should she die? So it sounds like it's Ma'ake B'di'evit. If the Kohen Gadol is not married, it's Ma'ake B'di'evit. Also, the Gemara says, Adam Mikem, the opening pasuk in Chumash Vayikra, Adam Mikem Kiakru Karban Hashem. So it says, Mikem Elo Kulchem Lehotzi Esamumer. That's the Gemara in Chula, Dafei. You can accept the Karban from a non-Jew. The Pasuk of Chumash says you can accept the karma for a non-Jew, even though the non-Jew is outright Ovid Avodah Zarah. If it's a karma la shamayim, if it's a karma to the God of the Jewish people, He's going to come to the Beis Hamikdash. He wants to bring a carbon to also wish the Yoshke, so he won't be makrevit. But if he wants to offer a carbon to Lekei Yisrael, will we be makrevit, despite the fact that Nochri is outright Ovid Avodah Zarah? But this carbon is Lashon Shamayim. But if there's a Jew who's Ovid Avodah Zarah, then he's worse than a goy. It's not that a mumma did a mumma lavazah did a kakum. He's worse than an akum. An akum avid avidazah brings a carbon lashamayim. You do accept it. So a mumma you don't accept it. So here, the kengadol on Yom Kippur has to be married. It has to say vida for himself and his wife. And if the wife is not observant at all, his wife is not religious at all, so he's not able to function as the kengadol. So that's not a chisorm with the kengadol. That's something attached to him. That's his wife. So that's represented by the begadim hatzoi. So the Malach says in the dream that the Novi had, the Zechariah had a dream. This Maranvo was a dream, Chaloyim. So the Malach tells him, before Yom Kippur, we will remove the Begadim Hatzom. He will divorce his wife and he will marry a religious girl. That's going to be taken care of. Then he has this fantastic dream that there are two olive trees, Shnaim Zeisim Allah, two olive trees. The olives are falling down. Falling into a contraption that functions by itself on a Shabbos clock, whatever, is running by itself, squeezing out all the olive oil, and it's streaming 49 streams of olive oil into a beautiful golden menorah that represents a golden era of the Beis HaMikdash, a golden era in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, and seven streams of oil are flowing into each one of the seven cups on top of the menorah, so there are 49 streams, 7 times 7 flowing in, and it represents the idea that everything goes automatically. Such a beautiful era of the Beis HaMikdash, everything goes automatically. And the Malach says, you know what that represents in his dream, Malach does then. So the Novi says, the Malach says to the Novi, Zechariah, Matare, what do you see? He says, Menorah Zov, everything happening by itself. And then he says, what is it supposed to represent? Ma'ela Adoni, what is it supposed to represent? So he tells him, Halo Yadaita, Ma'ela, you know what it is, right? Ma'lo Yadaita, Adoni, I don't know what it represents. He's fighting back and forth. He does understand, he doesn't understand. So Rav Soloveitchik explained, based on the Rashi on Treyosar, the Novi Zechariah understood what it's supposed to represent, but he thought that it doesn't correspond to reality because the Baisheni period was not a golden era as far as the Beis HaMikdash was concerned. There were periods of time that the Tzedukim were running the show and they were bringing all the Karbonis improperly, Shaloi Kedin. Everything was Shaloi Kedin. They were celebrating Shavuos always on a Sunday and for the Machtzis HaShekel money. The din requires everyone should give the same amount. Everybody has to give the same amount. And they would accept one private wealthy family would donate $5 million and cover the expenses of all the karbonis for the year. And they would hang up a sign. The Goldberg family is sponsoring all the karbonis from Shnas Tav Shin Pei Beis. So that's against the din. You can't do that. By private karbonis, there is such a din. The Gemara knows it, learns it out from a posse. But by Karbonis Sibur, it doesn't go. It doesn't fly. Karbonis Sibur are only called Karbonis Sibur if it's paid for by the Machzah Shekel money. So the periods of time that the Beis HaMikdash was not for quite big chunks of time. Beis HaMikdash was not running properly. So what is it supposed to represent? So that's what the Novi says to the Malach. I know what it represents, but it doesn't correspond to reality. So he doesn't give him an answer. He doesn't give him an answer. He doesn't explain. So if you continue looking there, the next few psukim in Zechariah, at least he explains what the two olive trees are supposed to represent. So he says the two olive trees, the dollars were falling down and falling into the contraption, the machine, getting squeezed out, and the 49 streams of oil. The two olive trees represent Shnei Bnei HaYitzah, the two olive oil men. Who are the two? Yitzah is olive oil. Who are the Shnei Bnei HaYitzah? So Rashi in his commentary on Treyosar explains, Shnei Bnei HaYitzah are the Malchus Beis David that has Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha and the Kohen Gadol. They're supposed to have Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha. We know the Pasuk says in Divrei Yomim that Yoshio HaMelech was going as the Oren with the Luchas in the basement at the end of the Bais Rishon period with the Shem and HaMishcha. There was no Shem and HaMishcha the whole Bais Sheni. There was no Shemen HaMishcha. It was all Nignas. And there was no Malchus Beis David. And the Kohanim Gedolim had rebuilt Begodim. There are two ways to make a Kohen Gadol Eidah, Yidei Mashiach B'Shemen HaMishcha, a Kohen Merubah Begodim. All the Kohanim Gedolim in the Bais Sheni period, they were all Merubah Begodim. They were all Merubah Begodim. So that's what the Navi tells the Malach. I don't understand. It doesn't correspond to reality. So he answers him, it's unclear. But this part is from Rav Chaim. He answers him, Loi b'chai v'loi b'chai kim b'ruchi yom ha'shem tzvakas. What does that mean? I'm showing you a vision of the third Beis HaMikdash. I'm not showing you a vision of the second Beis HaMikdash. It's going to be Shvach HaMaisis. And the Rambam writes, when he writes over the Avodas Yom Kippurim, the Mishnah says in the first Perek in Yuma, there had to be Mashbiah the Kohen Gadol every year. He shouldn't change anything. He shouldn't do anything like the Tzedukim. Because there were periods of time that the Kohen Gadol didn't bring the Karbonis properly on Yom Kippur. They did everything like the Tzedukim. The period of time the Tzedukim were running the Beis HaMikdash improperly. So the Rambam writes, the Bais Sheni from day number one was full of machlokes, and they were rebelling the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash, but leading the rebellion. The Mishnah in Sukkah describes the Kohen Gadol was a Tzedukim, he didn't want to do Nisach HaMayim, so they were so insistent on not doing Nisach HaMayim. He was standing there with the water, and instead of pouring it on the Mizrach, he poured it on his feet, and all the people pelted them, only the intelligentsia, without Kippurim, the Hamayinam, or with the Rabbanim. So they all threw their Esroigim at the Kohen Gadol to stone him. So the Mishnah says that they were throwing so many Esroigim at the Kohen Gadol, because he wasn't pouring the water on the Mizbech, he was pouring on his feet. So they passed the Mizbech that day, because the Mizbech has to be Ravua, has to be a perfect square on top. On the bottom it was 32 amas by 32 amas, then it went up, then it indented, it was 30 by 30, it went up and indented, it became 28 by 28. So that 28 by 28 on the top, this is a rectangle. The Mizbech had to be a Ravua, had to be a square, and they threw so many Esroigim, they chipped away the square. So they weren't able to bring Karbonis till they had to take some more pebbles and some more cement, they had to fix the square of the Mizbech. So the Malach tells the Novi Zechariah, I'm not showing you a vision of the Bais Sheni. I'm showing you a vision of the Bais HaShlishi. What does it have to do now? We're holding the Bais HaSheni. So he says the Bais HaShlishi will be a Hemshech of the Bais Sheni. Unlike the Bais Rishon, the Bais Sheni was not a Hemshech of the Bais Rishon, but the Bais HaShlishi will be a Hemshech of the Bais Sheni. Why? Because Lo B'chai V'lo B'chach. What does that mean? So Rav Chaim interpreted Pshat in the Pasuk based on the Rambam, in Perek Vav in Hilchos Beis HaBchira, the Rambam writes that Kedushas HaMikdash from the day that Shlomo HaMelech the Gemara has a machlokes, but the Kedushas HaMikdash was only Kitcho L'Shaito, only calls man that Beis HaMikdash is Bibinyonai, but after it'll be destroyed, the Mokum no longer retains the Kedusha. It should be assumed, no, it's Kitcho L'Asi Lovik, Kitcho L'Shaito, the Kitcho L'Asi Lovik. The Mokum HaMikdash retains the Kedusha. Aloch HaLamais, it's a machlokes, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, the Rambam's opinion is that the Makam HaMikdash is still Mekudosh, and Tmeim are not allowed to go there, because Kitchel Osi Lovai. And the Raivid and the Ramban disagree for two different reasons, but bottom line, they both agree that the Makam HaMikdash no longer retains Kedusha. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Misafik, it's a Safik Isak Akoris, so Misafik, Tmeim shouldn't go there. It may be that the Makam still retains Kedusha, so you're not allowed to go. That's why there's a sign from the Rabbanut that the Jewish people are not permitted to go on the Har HaBayis, because b'choshish for the Rambam's opinion that it's kitchel osi lovin. So the Rambam writes the Makam HaMikdash from the day number one that Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, it never lost its kedusha. It's kitchel osi lovin. Eretz Yisrael, the first kedusha b'shayna of Eretz Yisrael was when Yishuv ben Nun conquered the land. It took Sheva Shekav, Sheva Sheva Shechilko. So the Chalukah was the Gemara of the Kibush. So the Mekadosh was the Kibush. So the Rambam writes, since the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael the first time around, days of Yishuv ben Nun, was the Kibush, when the Kibush was undone, when the Nebuchadnezzar's armies, Babylonian armies, took away Eretz Yisrael from the conquest of the Jewish people. So the whole basis of the Kedusha Soretz was the Kibush. The Chalukah was the Gemara of the Kibush. So the Kibush was undone. The whole Kedusha vanished. It disappeared into thin air. But the Kedusha Shnia, the second time around, there was no Kibush. They didn't have a Jewish, independent Jewish government till centuries later when the Hashmonaim formed their government. The Gemara said that was 204 years before the Churban Abayis. 204 years before the Churban Abayis. So since the Kedusha Shniya was not Ayidei, lo b'chav ve lo b'chach, the Kedusha Shniya was not Ayidei Kibush, Kim Beruchi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashu Shechino Asai, and Eretz Yisrael. So that's why the Kedusha Shniya will be everlasting. It'll be Kitcha Losi Lovin. So that's how Rab Chaim interpreted the Pshat and the Psukim. Zed Bar Hashem El Zerubav Aleymar, the Kedusha Shniya is not the same as the Kedusha Rishayna, since it's not Ayidei Kibush, that's why it won't be bottled. At the time of Churban Bayis Sheni, it won't be bottled like the Kedusha Rishayna was bottled at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, when the Babylonian armies took over the whole Medina. So when the Roman armies took over the whole Medina, should have undone the Kedusha. No, the Kedusha didn't rest in the first place on the Kibush. There was no Kibush till the days of the Hashmonaim, and there was Kedusha Ha'aretz before. So the destruction of the Medina, taking away the Medina from the Jewish people, didn't cancel the Kedusha. So since the Kedusha Shni will be Kitcha Losi Lovai, that's why the Malach tells him, I'm showing you a vision of the third Beis HaMikdash, which will be a Hemshech of the second. The second was not a Hemshech of the first, but the third will be a Hemshech of the second. The Gemara says that they were Kohanim, the Gemara in the third paragraph in Moed Katan, Perigel Megalchan, the Gemara interprets Psukim in Yechezkel. They were Kohanim who brought Karbonis in the Beis Rishon. They were Bar Mitzvah. They brought Karbonis, and before Bar Mitzvah you can't be Makor Karbonis. You have to be a Bar Das. And then the Beis HaMikdash was Charev, and then 7 years later they come back to the Beis HaMikdash at the age of 85, 90, and they want to be Makor Karbonis again. So the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, you have to bring another Minchas Chinuch. A Kohen, the first time in his life he wants to be Makor Karbonis at the Beis HaMikdash, has to bring a Minchas Chinuch. So what if he already brought a Minchas Chinuch in the Beis Rishon? And then it was Chorev, and now he wants to bring in the Beis Sheni. So the Pasuk, that's what the Rishonim say in that Pasuk. What happened was, when Rav Kook passed away, when did he die? I think 1935, Kimolo, 35, I think. That's when Rav Soloveitchik happened to be in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Soloveitchik was there once. He was a candidate for Rabbanus in Tel Aviv. So he was there for Shavuos, a little before, a little after. And that's when his wife gave birth to a daughter in Boston. And they didn't give the baby a name until he came back to America. Because his mother, Rabbi Soloveitchik's mother, wanted to name the baby after her mother. Her mother's name was Gittel. She wanted to name the baby Tova. And Rabbi Soloveitchik said, who knows it's going to be a good baby? Maybe it won't be a good baby. I can give a name Tova. So they were pilfering about the name until he came back to America. And then his mother won anyway. So the baby's name was Tova. She's the one who married Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein. She lives in Eretz Yisrael. So at that time, he met Rav Kook on his deathbed in the hospital. He wasn't there when he died. He had already come back to America by Gimel Elul, but he was there when he was on his deathbed. And then Rav Kook, they say, was so... he spoke in learning a little bit with Rav Soloveitchik in the hospital, and he told his son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, that Rav Soloveitchik reminds him of his great-grandfather, Dinetziv. Dinetziv's granddaughter married Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So Dinetziv was what his great-great-grandfather. Rav Kook learned in Valozhin when Dinetziv was the Rosh Yeshiva. So he told his son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, he should go listen. Rav Soloveitchik said a few shurim then in different yeshivas. So he told him, Rav Kook told his son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda, he reminds him of Dinetziv, he should go listen to the shurim. So people were running around listening to all the shurim in Eretz Yisrael at that time. So Rav Soloveitchik added on to this. The concluding pasuk says, "V'hotzi es Eben Harosha." They laid the cornerstone of the Beis Hamikdash. In the dream that Zechariah Hanavi had about the Beis Hamikdash, he dreamt that they were laying the cornerstone. So Rav Soloveitchik said, according to Rav Chaim's interpretation, you could add on, "V'hotzi es Eben Harosha," that the whole second Beis Hamikdash was a cornerstone for the third Beis Hamikdash. It was only Hachana for the third Beis HaMikdash. Hotzi HaSeven HaRosha. Anyway, when Rav Kook, I started saying, when Rav Kook passed away, so the yeshiva, Merkaz HaRav Kook, was the yeshiva that he founded. The yeshiva had they had a group of mitzvayonim, big Talmid HaChacham there, so they were all learning the third perek and Moed Katan has all the dinim of Avelos, because Rav Kook passed away. So they put out a big fat book, different perushim from the Rishonim, on Perek Ela Megalchen, on that Perek about Hilchos Ovos. I have Rabbi Nechil mi Paris and other Balei HaTosfos they have there. So one of the Balei HaTosfos has this pshat on that pasuk in Yechezkel that the Gemara quotes there, Perek Ela Megalchen, that even a Kohen who brought the Korban Minchas Chinuch in the first Beis Hamikdash, but then the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and now they built the second Beis Hamikdash, and he's 85, 90 years old, he wants to be Makkah, but then he has to bring another Minchas Chinuch. But the second Beis Hamikdash was not a Hemshech of the first. First was, as the Pasuk reads, in Tilim, Oru, Oru, Ad HaYisoidba. Everything was destroyed. But the third will be a Hemshech of the second. So in case there'll be a Kohen who's 2,000 years old, who brought the, we don't have such a Kohen. In case there's a Kohen who brought a Minchas Chinuch at the end of the Vaisheni period, and still be alive tomorrow, when they build a Beis Hamikdash in Eretz Yisrael, maybe tomorrow, so then he won't require Minchas Chinuch, because the third Beis Hamikdash is a Hemshech of the second. This was Rav Chaim's interpretation. It's problematic. They quote from Avelvel HaSoloveitchik, it's problematic. Rav Chaim, the Rambam said the difference between Kedusha Rishon and Kedusha Shnia of Eretz Yisrael. But he was talking about the Beis Hamikdash. So the Rambam says the Beis Hamikdash was, when Shlomo Melech built the first Beis Hamikdash, the Kedusha was not based on Kibush and the Beis Hamikdash. The Kedusha was based on Hashvas HaShchina. So the Mokam HaMikdash retained Kedusha from day number one. So why does the Malach only say the third will be a Hemshech of the second? It's unlike the second is not a Hemshech of the first, because Lo B'chai V'lo B'chayach. The Beis HaMikdash was not Kodesh based on Kibush. Eretz is always Kodesh based on Kibush. And the Beis HaMikdash, we say, the Rambam says that it was Kitchel Osilava from day number one. So that's where Zalvala had this objection to Rav Chaim's interpretation. But that's how Rav Soloveitchik used to say over this pshat. From the Psukim and the Haftorah would appear that the role of one of the functions of the Kohen Gadol is he's supposed to supervise all the Hakrovas Korbanos and the Beis Hamikdash. Imis mishmati tishmor. Bugam tishmor is chatzei roi. That sounds like that's the role of the function of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol only has to bring korbanos on Yom Kippur. He doesn't have to do anything else. The Kohen Gadol has to be the bal hakorban. Let's say I'm not a kohen. So let's say I'm chal shabbos b'shegigs. Have to bring a korban. I bring it to the base and make it to the kohen. I'm makarvin. So the Kohen Gadol has to be the Bal HaKorban every day of Chavit, the Kohen Gadol. He divides it in half. He gives Machtzis Babak, Machtzis Ben Haban, just like you have Ktoris, half in the morning, half at night, and you have Tom Shoshach, Tom Shoshach Ben Habayim. So you have Chavit, the Kohen Gadol, every single day of the year. But the Kohen Gadol has to be the Bal HaKorban. He doesn't have to be Makrevit. You can have a Kohen Hedyut Ben Makrevit. The only time you need a Kohen Gadol is on Yom Kippur. So what does he do all year long? He sits and he twiddles his thumbs. What does he do? So the Rambam says, no, quote of the Sefarta, that's a crucial Rambam. So they should explain other dinim based on that. The Rambam has to be in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol has to be in the Beis HaMikdash all day long. Why? So the Pesukim say he's supposed to supervise. And Mishmati Tishmor, Gamatot Tishmor is Chatzeroi. He's supposed to supervise Akrovas Kol HaKarbonis and the Beis HaMikdash. There's a famous comment that they quote from the Chofetz Chaim. Usually in Tanakh we assume Leib Chacham Limina, it's a pasuk where's it? Leib Chacham Limina, it's in Mishle, I forgot already. Leib Chacham Leib Ksilus Molo. Usually in literature, it's not necessarily scientifically so. In literature you write as if the heart has the right side and the left side. So as if the right side has the Yetzer Tov and the left side has the Yetzer Hara. Everything to the left is no good. In literature. So here it says, the Kohen Gadol is standing with Satan, and you mean on the Satan, the Satan's on the right side. Usually the Satan is depicted literally in literature as being on the left side. So the Chofetz Chaim says, yeah, but the Satan is going to come and try to convince the Kohen Gadol is a big rabbi. Try to convince the Kohen Gadol to do not, he's not going to do it. He stands on the right side, the Satan stands on, and he tries to convince the Kohen Gadol that this is a mitzvah, but he's convincing him to do an aver. But by big people, the method that the Satan has is that he stands on the right side and he convinces him it's a mitzvah to say this lashon, it's a mitzvah to do this aver. Chavetz Chaim says we should all be careful. Remember, I was once out of town for Sukkot. Sukkot was on a Sunday night. And they had like the Jewish press here in New York, so they had such an Anglo-Jewish newspaper. And the Mordechai Svarim, years ago, the Mordechai Svarim used to sell us, right? Years ago, all the Mordechai Svarim used to be on the Lower East Side. So if you want to buy Lulav and Essay, you had to go to the Lower East Side. And in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, they weren't selling any Svarim, they were only selling Dalamin. So I was out of town. So those who sold their Sragim put advertisements in the newspaper. Come on Sunday, and buy Dalaminim. We're going to be selling Dalaminim on Erev Sukkot, in case you didn't buy before. So some of the Yeshiva Bachim, it's apikursis, because that's not pshat in the pasuk. Kach Lechem Yerushim means if you shake the lulav in the estray, on the first day Sukkot, doesn't mean you should purchase a lulav on Sunday. So that's a shaila. Are you permitted to use a pasuk as a malitza, not the way the pasuk means? Is that called apikursa, or is that just a fancy way of speaking? So there's a tshuva about this, and one of the early achronim, I forgot already which one, Rav Soloveitchik once said it over in class. And I remember someone told me that Rav David Cohen, he's a fantastic bookie, he knows everything. He didn't know where this tshuva was. It's in the tshuva in one of the early achronim, I forgot already which one, that what they have a shaila about that. Is it permissible to use a pasuk? So he tells a story in this tshuva. The Rebbe of Rabbi Yosef Kari was Mari Bei Rav. He was blind on one eye. And he was once going mountain climbing with his Talmidim, and then in the middle they decided to take a break, and there was a gigantic boulder, so a whole bunch of them sat down on this big stone like they have here. Right in front of the yeshiva, they have gigantic big boulders that you can sit down on. So how many people sat down? So there were four people, three Talmidim, and the Mari Bei Rav sat down. So one of the students asked permission to say a joke of the Rebbe. So he said, he gives him permission. So he said, I see Alev Anach HaShiva Einoim. That's not the pshat in the pasuk, but he says, I see seven eyes sitting on one stone, because three Talmidim, each one had two eyes, and Mari Bei Rav is blind on one eye. He said, Alev Anach HaShiva Einoim. So Mari Bei Rav said, good. He liked the joke. Good, he liked it. So you see, it's permissible. That's what they... Remember, Rav Soloveitchik once said it over in Chia. The joke that he said, Alev Anach HaShiva Einoim. There's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. Chacham Avadya always does like that. He has his style of writing tshuvas, always biblical melitzas, always the biblical melitzas. Anyway, Chagas Chayim Malachi, very fascinating nevuas, all of the beginning of the Baisheni period. Famous psukim there in Zechariah. Chagai is only two prokim, very important for Hanukkah. Chagai prophesies in advance about Hanukkah, and Chayim Malachi also. Okay, a good Shabbos, everybody.
Oh, he's starting to mention.